Dynamite, dynamite, dynamite. This is the Lawyer James Dynamite audio program. It is the absolute best audio content by a New York business attorney in both transactional and litigation practice areas, and it is helpful for all industries. Now here's today's episode. Hold up. One more thing before we get started. You can reach me online by visiting my website, thelawyerjames.com, thelawyerjames.com, thelawyerjames.com. You can call me at 212-500-1891. That's the office, 212-500-1891, 212-500-1891. You can contact me by email at james@thelawyerjames.com, james@thelawyerjames.com, james@thelawyerjames.com. Or by text message at 917-783-3153. Text message 917-783-3153. That's 917-783-3153. In this episode, I want to talk about communicating with your adversary. Communicating with your adversary. It's part of the litigation strategies. Communicate with your adversary. It is so important that you communicate with your adversary for a number of reasons. Number one, you can glean and understand what they want if they tell you expressly. And if they don't tell you expressly, you can gauge whether or not they're a straight shooter or whether they're lying, maybe, if they're that obvious about it, or if they're not that obvious about it. If they seem trustworthy or if they seem like they're hiding something. After you're at this game for a while or at this profession or in this space for a while, you'd be able to tell or at least have an inclination of what somebody is up to. So communicate with your adversary. What does that mean and how does it work? Typically, whenever I represent defendants or a group of defendants, I call the other side and introduce myself. Usually it's, you know, a two-prong contact. The first is to introduce myself, and the second, because defendants notoriously take a long time to really do anything, or, you know, that's just people in general, and they wind up wanting to hire me when there's a couple days for us to formulate a strategy and respond. And that's not good for anybody. It's not good for me because I have to drop what I'm doing and work on this. It's not great for the client either because we can't put the thought that we need to into it. So more often than not, 999 times out of 1,000, we ask the other side for an extension. And to do that, we need to communicate with the other side. And like I said, 999 times out of 1,000, it's routinely granted. Why? Because it's from a professional courtesy basis, at least, you know, you as an attorney or the one who's being asked to consent to the granting of an extension will probably have to do it someday as well. We'll probably have to ask for an extension. And you know, it's one of the most basic ways that attorneys give the nod, or at least, you know, it's a part of the club. It's a professional courtesy that's almost always extended to the other side. And I say almost always because one time we were the plaintiff and we were working with the defendant and coming up with a consensual settlement, and they were on notice for over a year that we had these claims against them, and they kept dragging their feet, and we filed the case, and the defendant didn't answer in time, so we moved for a default judgment and did not consent to the extension that they had requested. So they and we had very, very good reasons for not doing that, and even over our objection, the court gave them the extension. Now, what did that do? It certainly didn't garner a good working relationship between the plaintiff and the defendant, or at least their attorneys, because it got off to that sort of rough and contentious start. And when that happens, it's you're both sides are kind of working from behind the eight ball to get a consensual deal done or to work collaboratively with one another. And I'll tell you what, when you can reach a consensual settlement agreement or you can work collaboratively, it doesn't mean you have to agree on everything. And there can be issues and you can fight on those issues. But it can be like, you know, are we fighting if it's a tennis match? Are we playing on a grass court or are we playing on, you know, asphalt? Are we playing on clay or what are we playing on? And so once you establish that sort of playing field, then you duke it out. You know, that type of stuff, you know, if you can't reach a settlement on the merits, then the next best thing is to decide, you know, what court you're playing on, you know, in my tennis analogy. And if you can do that, then it goes a long way and it's a much less stressful environment. However, all fights, you know, they don't need to be nice. They can be bloody. And, you know, in courts in New York, at least, and in, you know, federal courts in most jurisdictions, particularly in the bankruptcy court, the parties have a lot of hallway conversations and their adversaries and parties with their adversaries have a lot of hallway conversations. And what does that mean? Well, okay, you try to make a deal out in the hallway, whether it's, you know, a substantive issue or a procedural issue, you try to make that deal out in the hallway. And, you know, I remember one time I was working with this adversary and they were belligerent, very difficult to communicate with. And he said, "Stop writing all these letters." And I said, "I need to make my record so I can show it to the judge." And he said, "No, you don't." I said, "Well, I'm going to appeal anything that you do anyway." And he says, "Oh, don't bother, because if I prevail, I'm not going to get overturned, because appellate courts rarely overturn, you know, the lower courts." And all of the stuff that was coming out of his mouth was just complete nonsense. And in fact, later when we met with the judge was like, "Listen, I want you to send letters to each other so that you can stake out your position." So the guy was just completely full of it. Either that, he was, you know, I cannot say that he was inexperienced at all, because he was at one of the top firms. And I had to walk away from the conversation and let my colleague handle it, because I just couldn't really deal with the stuff that was coming out of his mouth. And so while I say, you know, communicate with your adversary, communicate until you have the information that you need. And then once you have that information, then you can make decisions based on that. Because making decisions without that type of information can make the difference between winning and losing. And I had the opportunity and good fortune, while it was almost unbearable talking with this guy, I had the good fortune of really knowing how to make moves and where his buttons were to push and how to get things through and how to get the best result for my client. So it is very, very important to communicate with your adversary. Another reason why it's important to communicate is to make a record. Some courts and some judges think it's important to make the record. Because, well, it's always important to make the record of the communications, because courts want to see if you're working, at least, you know, here, I'm kind of saying this out of one side of my mouth, but I'm going to say something else out of the other side of my mouth. You're perfectly well within your rights to not say anything, to only say things in front of the judge. And in some instances, it is, good and recommended to do that. And in other instances, it isn't. And it's really more of an art form than a science. And so what I'm trying to get at is, if you want to, if it becomes contentious and he said, he said, or she said, or he said, she said, and you're going to have to prove up something to the court, you do that in the context of emails. So what you want to do is keep, you know, you can have your phone call conversations, but it's also important to follow up with an email communication, or to have that email communication, particularly where it can be an instance that you may have to prove the communication at some point in the future. And that's very, very important then to make a record of it. And how do you make a record? You make a record in writing, and how do you make a record? The most efficient and convenient and easiest way to make the record in writing is email, or the second best way is text messages, or even, you know, an app on your phone like WhatsApp. But it's very, very important to communicate with your adversary, make a record of the communication if it would ever seem to be like it would come an issue, and you would need to prove something. And then once you do that, you should be pretty good and off to the races. And just so that, you know, just so here's a little pro tip, is that lawyers cannot communicate with a party directly if that party is represented by an attorney, unless the attorney consents to that direct communication. So while free and unfettered communication in most and some circumstances is good and beneficial, always remember to make a record, but always remember that it's limited and qualified based on who is communicating with whom.
You can reach me online by visiting my website, thelawyerjames.com, thelawyerjames.com, thelawyerjames.com. You can call me at 212-500-1891. That's the office, 212-500-1891, 212-500-1891. You can contact me by email at james@thelawyerjames.com, 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 or by text message at 917-783-3153. Text message 917-783-3153. That's 917-783-3153.